love hearing from you. And for me, I have a little bit of global news for us.
Can I just say this chair, this DJ chair, is not recommended for those with back pain. Really not recommended.
Do you want to trade? Mine goes like...
They're all bad. They're all...
No, but mine... Dude, you got to switch them around when you come in.
Yeah. No, they're all bad.
Well, mine reclines. It's kind of amazing.
Reclining is bad. That's what I don't
like,
want.
Like, if my microphone could lean further, this would be dope.
Yeah, you do seem shorter than usual tonight.
I know. I kind of like it. It's like I kind of see you the way you must usually see me.
Le petit chair.
Bunch of college kids messing with our chairs, I'm telling you. Switch to that one. It's good.
Yeah. No, it's none of them are good. I've sat in all of them at one time or another.
Well, I'll bring you an orthopedic next time, Grandpa.
I want my Aeron chair.
Sorry, that was mean. I meant it, though. Did you know that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle had their baby? And, oh my God, they revealed its name today. Because that's the most important news in the world.
If you like Riverdale, you're going to love the name.
Yes, so they announced it. This is my favorite thing. He is a prince from like a long, 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 long family line of royalty. And they announced it on Instagram. Isn't that adorable? This is according to Fox News. His name is Archie Harrison Mountbatten-Windsor.
Is it Archie or is it Archibald?
It's Archie.
It's Archie.
Yes.
You know what? I would have gone full Fish Called Wanda and named him Archie Leach Mountbatten. Because that at least would be Archie. Like, who's naming their kid Archie in 2019?
I don't know. A prince that marries an actress. Like, that's the thing, is at this point, I mean, I've always thought that royalty is incredibly antiquated, but this is where it gets, it's getting Kardashian. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when everyone paid attention to Princess Diana's funeral, I was maybe perhaps about 9 or 10. I forget exactly when that happened, but I remember being like, I don't get why there's royalty anymore, especially considering there's an actual government in England.
Right.
But I get this. These past couple years with the two princes and with their lives, I've just been like, this is serving nothing but filling pages of People magazine. Like, this is silly. Like, it's just absurd. like the fact, like it's just like how like I said, it feels like the Kardashians. It feels like they're doing stuff just to have this conversation we're having right now, which is like, is it Archibald or is it Archie?
Yeah, basically. And in the same sense that I don't care about the Kardashians, I don't care about this. I don't give a hoot. I understand people get all worked up for the royal wedding and people get all worked up for the royal babies and the royal whatever the heck is going on. It just doesn't move me. You know, it's like, all right, yes, these are, you know, they seem like interesting people. And the British royal family does do a tremendous amount of good in the United Kingdom. I'm not going to take that away from them for a moment, but it'd be like saying, hey, you know, the chairman and chief executive officer of Fidelity is coming down to unveil his new child this morning. And it's like, who cares? Like, either go make me some money in my mutual fund or go away. I'm not interested in any other aspect of your life.
Well, I remember, was it the day?
Molly is all over this stuff, by the way.
Of course she is. Molly, I love you, but
I'm surprised she didn't text me and be like, did you hear the royal baby name? And it's like, I don't care. That'll be the first thing she says to me when she sees me tonight.
Well, I remember.
Did you hear about the royal baby name?
I forget one of the princes. How long ago did, I guess it would have been Harry. It must have been Harry. But the wedding, whatever restaurant I was working at during the wedding, and somebody, a bunch of people did a fun run where they were dressed as like going to the royal wedding, and then they came and drank a bunch of beer and watched the royal wedding, and they were all like so interested. And,
yeah.
Like, some of them cried, and I was like, I'm sorry, do you know Meghan Markle?
Yeah.
Like, or Prince Harry, like, why are you so emotionally invested in this?
You know what? It's nice that people are interested in it. It's nice that people live vicariously through it. I don't have any problem with any of that. But, you know, as a human being myself, I just don't care. I'm just not that interested in it.
I mean, it's the way I feel about, like, my sister loves all those Real Housewives of fill in the blank shows, which, to be fair, she's a corporate lawyer, so God bless her, and she deserves something mindless when she gets off work.
Yeah.
But she's made me watch it with her before, and I've just been sitting there like, I can't believe people are invested in this. Like this is so utterly absurd.
You have multiple college degrees. How can you watch this?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, we all have our vices. Yeah, I mean,
well, and that's why, like, my sister, I give her a pass on that. Because, like I said, my sister's one of the smartest, most successful people I know.
Yeah.
So if she wants to come home and watch Real Housewives of New Jersey, more power to her.
Yeah.
But, like, there are some women who that is their week.
Yeah, that's their jam.
Like, that is the biggest thing that's happening to them.
Yeah.
And that's the way I feel about the royal family. Like being invested in the royal family, rather. It's like, Time Magazine is like right next to People on the newsstand. It's like right there. Like,
well, it's you know, in the case of the royal family, at least, I can see understanding, you know, I can understand people wanting to see the opulence of that lifestyle, because the lifestyle most of us are never, ever going to experience. And it's like, you know, they're well-dressed and they've got, you know, all kinds of money and jewels. And, you know, it's nice to see them, things like this, things like the royal baby announcements and the weddings and all the rest of that, existed historically to humanize the royal family, so that when the poor were getting ready to revolt, they'd sit there and they'd say, oh, you know what, the princess isn't so bad, and we like her daughters, so don't kill them, but gosh darn it, let's go kill the king. And then at least somebody would get away, and the bloodline would continue. But in our modern day and age, when we're not going to rise up and slaughter the British royal family, it is pomp and circumstance that is out of time.
Well, that's
now.
Exactly. That's what I remember. See, I mentioned when Princess Diana died. I remember when she died and the funeral and all of that. My mom and her best friend were watching it and crying. And the next morning I said, so she was the Queen of England. And my mom said, no, but her husband was a prince and his mom's the queen. He said, okay, so she's like, she rules England. She said, well, no, there's this other person called the prime minister who rules England. And I said, okay, so the prime minister rules England. So why do we care about these other people? Like, even it, like, like I said, now I want to look it up. How old was I when Princess Diana died? Even as, I think I was 9, even as a child, I was like, am I the only person that sees that there's no reason we should care about these people?
Well, we
don't care about so many rich people in America. You know what I mean?
You were a bit young at that point to understand the impact of that. Diana was a...
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I definitely understand the importance of Princess Diana, and she went far beyond being a princess.
Yeah.
She was a humanitarian. She was an activist. She was amazing. I am not discounting that.
One of the things about
Diana...
But
I'm saying, like, it's when I first learned about the royal family and, like, what it was, you know what I mean?
One of the big things about Diana was that people could relate to her as a human being in a way that
she was the people's princess.
She was approachable in a way that no one else in the royal family ever was. Queen Elizabeth has tried through her years on the throne.
I was 11.
But Diana really had it. Like, Diana could walk in a room and everybody would be like, oh, hey, how you doing? She'd be like, hey, how you doing? And it wasn't any of this, you know, standing on ceremony with her.
Oh, no.
And people genuinely loved her.
Oh,
and
no,
she
not.
Did good work.
And I'm not discounting that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if that
yeah.
point was mislaid.
No, but I'm saying at the age of 11, you probably didn't know that or get that aspect of it.
Yeah, but, well, that's the thing is that, like, of course, I've learned a lot about Princess Diana. I actually wrote a paper about Princess Diana when they said, like, when I was in high school, being like somebody that you strive to be like, because like you said, like, she was so down to earth, but she was a freaking princess and did all these amazing things, like would go and hug children in Africa with AIDS, would, like, she was incredible. But my point being that, like, that was my first real introduction to the true concept of what the royal family was, aside right. from learning about, like, you know, like Louis the 14th, like knowing, like, the olds, like you were saying, like the old school royalty, where it was actually, those were the rulers of all of Europe, and it was, like, really important and wasn't antiquated at all. But yeah, it's like I said, it's a carnival now.
It's Prince, pump. Yeah.
Prince Harry, like, okay, people gave Charles, God, I wish I could say the word I want to say right now on the radio. People gave Charles some guff for marrying Diana because she wasn't technically royalty.
Right. And because she was 19 years old and he was in his 30s.
Strangely enough, I think people cared about that less.
No, no, there was a fair amount of that at the time too. What?
But yeah, that is pretty gross. But anyways, but like they gave him a lot of it, but a lot of it was because she wasn't royal, but she was still, I mean, she was so poised and this and that. And Prince Harry married a chick that was on a TV show
yeah.
in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
But keep in mind,
honest to God, I think that the reign, to put it so bluntly, ends here.
Like,
ends with those two.
Because William has done everything right, and everybody loves Kate, and it's sort of, as the younger brother, Harry gets to kind of do whatever the heck he wants to do, the same way that Charles's younger brother got to do whatever he wanted to do, and then they all got excommunicated from the family, and, you know, here we are.
But I do love, I will say that it's funny, because growing up, everybody loved Prince William and was like, oh my God, that poor ginger little brother of his.
Yes.
If only he was as hot as Prince William. Harry is a babe now.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
He and I are about the same age. So he and I went through our awkward stages together. I did feel a nice camaraderie with him about that.
And Prince William is rocking the dad bod now. So,
oh, Prince William is hardcore dad bodding it.
From ProPublica. This is going to be slightly uncomfortable. Well, it is and it isn't.
Oh, good. I love being uncomfortable.
Going to be a slightly uncomfortable topic. Prosecutors dropping child porn charges after software tools are questioned.
Against which person I hate.
More than a dozen cases were dismissed after defense attorneys.
What?
More than a dozen cases were dismissed after defense attorneys asked to examine or raise doubts about computer programs that track illegal images to internet addresses. Now, this full story is available on ProPublica.com.
Oh, wow. It's a really, I just realized as I'm looking to follow this with you, it's a really bad idea to type child porn into Google.
Yes.
I'm not actually looking for child porn. I'm looking for the news story about it.
What did Google come back with?
You're being arrested.
Oh, that's not good.
No, I'm just kidding. Actually, the first thing that comes up is an ad from Google that says, warning, child pornography is illegal.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Google. That's good
yes,
to know.
Thank you. I had absolutely no idea. Now yeah. I'm not going to look for it.
And the full story is online. I am going to omit the names that ProPublica mentions in this because there is no benefit in sharing those names. I don't know that these people are innocent or guilty. This article raises questions about that. So I'm going to skip
they're
over that piece
guilty,
of it.
Guilty, and they're getting off on a loophole.
Not, but as we get into this, we'll see.
Oh God, I'm already tired.
This is where the problem lies. Using specialized software, investigators traced explicit child pornography to an internet address. A dozen police officers raided a Los Angeles area apartment, seized a computer, and arrested a man for files, including a video that I will not describe, but it involves a girl under the age of 10. After his lawyer contended that the software tool inappropriate accessed the man's private files and asked to examine how it worked, prosecutors dismissed the case. Near Phoenix, police with a similar detection program tracked underage porn photos, including one of a little girl, to a home computer. The owner was indicted in state court on 10 counts of committing a dangerous crime against children, each of which carried a decade in prison if convicted. Yet when investigators checked the hard drive, the images weren't there. Even though investigators said different offensive files surfaced on another computer that he owned, the case was tossed. At a time when at least 500,000 laptops, tablets, phones, and other devices are viewing or sharing child pornography on the internet every month, 500,000. Software that tracks images to specific internet connections has become a vital tool for prosecutors. Increasingly, though, it's backfiring. Drawing upon thousands of pages of court filings as well as interviews with lawyers and experts, ProPublica found more than a dozen cases since 2011 that were dismissed either because of challenges to the software's findings or the refusal by the government or the maker to share the computer programs with defense attorneys or both. Tammy Lohr is a forensics expert who often testifies in child pornography cases, said she is aware of more than 60 cases in which the defense strategy has focused on the software.
60. Jesus.
Defense attorneys have long complained that the government's secrecy claims may hamstring suspects seeking to prove that the software wrongly identified them. But the growing success of their counterattack is also raising concerns that, by questioning the software used by investigators, some who trade in child pornography can avoid punishment. In several cases, court documents say that the software traced offensive images to an internet protocol address. But for reasons that remain unclear, those images weren't found on the defendant's computer. In others, defense lawyers said the software discovered porn in areas of the computer it wasn't supposed to enter, and they suggested the police conducted an overly broad search.
Oh, come on.
These problems are compounded by the insistence of both the government and the software manufacturers on protecting the secrecy of their computer code so as not to imperil other prosecutors or make trade secrets public. Unwilling to take the risk that these sensitive programs could leak publicly, they have rejected revealing the software even under strict court secrecy. There is more to this. You can read the entire report.
I've said enough. I honestly don't want to.
I've said enough about
this is
what's in this.
So, gross. So, this is gross.
So we have two problems here. Problem number one is guilty people are going free because
yep. That's problem numbers 1 through 5.
That's problem number one. Guilty people are going free because all you got to do is get your defense attorney to say, I want to know how the software works, and they drop the charges. There was a similar situation that existed a few years ago with some software that the government was using. Not in child pornography cases, but in different types of cases, racketeering and things like that, where the manufacturers refused to talk about, and the government refused to talk about what the software was and how it worked. And dozens of people who had broken the law went free. It's problem number one. Problem number two, and the reason why I'm not sharing the names in this story, and kind of have to fault ProPublica for publishing these names, is because in some of these cases,
it might actually be true that they're innocent.
The innocent people are being accused of possession of child pornography because the tool doesn't work correctly. Now, if you listen to this program, you know that I work in digital marketing. I am familiar with the operation of Google and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all these different sorts of things. I know a good deal about so-called artificial intelligence and how artificial intelligence works. And I can tell you that what we call artificial intelligence right now is actually pattern recognition software. Okay? You feed a computer a lot of data and you ask it to look for patterns that are difficult for most humans to detect. Okay? As a trained data analyst, as somebody who's been doing this for years, and as somebody who has a brain geared toward pattern recognition, I can see those patterns. Not everybody can. You know, it's like you can show people piles of data and they're like, I don't know what this is. I can look at it. This is something that happened with a client of mine. I can look at the traffic pattern for their website and ask them if there is construction going on in front of the building, having not been there, and be 100% correct. Because the way that users were moving around the site told me that something was stopping them from getting parking directions or parking information and maps and directions. I'm like, is there construction? They're like, they're remodeling the entrance. And I'm like, the patients are going to the hospital across town. Just from looking at data.
Yeah.
It's like that scene in the
That's nuts.
It's like that scene in the Matrix where the operator is just looking at all the data falling down the screen. And Neo's standing there and he's like, what do you see there? And he's like, oh, I see everything. There's a building here.
This is all information that I can translate into real stuff.
This is what the quote unquote artificial intelligence that everyone uses today does. The problem with it is imprecise. And it throws out false positives a lot. And I have seen this happen quite a bit with Google, with their new search algorithm, which is entirely driven by AI, which throws out false positives on a pretty regular basis. So if one of these pieces of software is operating on a similar premise, then yes, you are going to have innocent people whose lives are going to be ruined because some janky piece of software somewhere says, you have child pornography. They never did. The machine is wrong. But now you got to go to court to prove that.
Jesus.
The flip side of it, in at least one of these cases, it seems that there is some sort of very invasive software. Probably, my best guess would be that you would Trojan that, embed it in pornography images, get it onto the hard drive, and then it goes out and says, hey, what else is here? There is a massive database of known child pornography images that is shared by Google and Yahoo and Bing and all of these different companies to prevent that material from being uploaded. All you have to know is unique digital fingerprint of that file, and you can block it. The flip side of that is if you know the unique digital fingerprint of that file, and every file has one, every file on the internet is like a fingerprint. There is a unique code.
Just like how I said, I really wish I didn't just type child porn into Google because I was trying to find this article. Because I went on to look at the news and then look at specifically this article, all of that is recorded, which is what you're describing.
You're on a list now. I'm on the same list. Don't worry about it.
I'm on like five lists.
Everyone in the news business is on. Everyone on the news business is on this list.
Every time I go to the airport, who cares?
Yeah, we're all on this list because we got to look this stuff up.
I'm not actually looking for child's porn.
So this thing gets into your computer and then it goes wandering around into all of your different directories and says, hey, is there anything else here? And it's like, oh, here's this and this and this, and then reports it back out.
Yeah.
The government technically can't do that. Is a warrantless search.
I am unfortunately very aware of this process.
Yeah. That is a warrantless search.
Yeah.
Because there is no situation where the government can walk in to your house or any other property that you have and just start flipping stuff over.
Yeah. Do you know what one of the best words in anyone who's being accused of a crime's life is? Allegedly.
Yes.
Unless the word allegedly is removed from a situation, all of that is not cool according to the Constitution. Illegal search and seizure. Look it up.
Yeah. But even if you get a warrant.
Oh, God, it just sounded like I was defending them. But
even if you get a warrant, the warrant has to say, we suspect these materials are here.
Yeah, like it has to say, like, this is specifically what we're looking for, and that's why we have to look at these specific things.
Exactly.
I can't flip over his couch cushions to see if there's a nudie mag under there.
Right. You can't.
Like, if I'm looking for something on his computer.
If you know that I've downloaded an illegal file, you have every right in the world to come after me and accuse me.
Yeah.
What you don't have the right to do is subsequently go and search my hard drive and every networked device in my house and see if there's more.
God, it's so funny. I remember having a conversation with my brother about this where me and my brother get in some intense conversations, but where he said our government is literally set up to allow you to commit a crime. It's set up to allow you to commit a crime. You're... If you do it in a stupid way and you get caught, you're going to have to pay the consequences.
Yeah.
But you can commit any crime you want, basically.
Yeah.
And it's just a question of, like, is the juice worth the squeeze?
Right.
Like, do the ends justify the means?
Exactly.
And because that's the thing, is like, you can commit whatever crime you want. Like, honestly, that's why I'm legitimately getting sick to my stomach talking about this. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah. As I said, it's not a pleasant topic. But
the thing is, okay. So say I'm just gonna throw a number out there. Okay. So say there's 100 of them that are getting off because of this loophole. Perhaps 80 of them are guilty.
It's more likely that 99 of them are guilty. And
I'm being incredibly generous right
now.
Okay, 90 of them are guilty. But the way that our criminal justice system is set up is to make it possible that if you cover your tracks enough, or if, more importantly, if the people on the other side of the law screw up, you're protected. Think about Double Jeopardy. Think about O.J. Simpson. The guy wrote a book that basically was called I Did It.
No. It was called If I Did It.
You
left out the most important word.
The if was 100 times smaller than the I Did It. Did you read that book?
That was only after Ron Goldman sued and forced them to make that change in the title and the cover. Originally, the if was the same size as everything else. Yes.
Did you read the book?
Yes.
Do you not think he did it?
I'm not getting into the debate of whether or not he did it. I'm saying I'm saying accurately the book was called If I Did It.
It was actually a wonderful cover, though, I will say. The if was inside of the eye, and like it was very graphic design wise, it was very good.
Yeah.
Neither here nor there. But my point is, it's pretty much
disappointed when the movie didn't get made.
It's pretty much, Jesus, it's pretty much universally agreed upon, or it's largely agreed upon that O.J. Simpson did the crimes he was accused of.
Yes.
But he was found not guilty, and he can never be charged with that again.
Correct.
Because of the way our criminal justice system is set up.
Correct.
And it's great for certain situations, but in that situation, and in this one, it's a bit of a... It's a disservice. I guess that's the most polite way I can put it. It's a disservice to...
There was a guy...
You know,
there was a guy,
the good people in society.
There was a guy here in Massachusetts. There was a guy here in Massachusetts about 10 years ago that got arrested on child pornography charges. Went to jail, served his time, got out, and said, I want my child pornography back. And there was no law on the books that said he couldn't have it.
I'm so glad I'm drinking Powerade right now, because that's the only reason that, like, I'm not fainting.
There was no law on the books that said he couldn't have it. So the state legislature rushed to put that on the books. You may recall the 24-hour period when upskirt photos were legal in Massachusetts a few years ago, because the state legislature, or the Supreme Judicial Court, had ruled that Massachusetts lacked a law preventing that. And all the perverts descended on the MBTA until the state legislature passed something like 30 hours later. This is a different situation. This is a situation where we have a couple of very, very bad outcomes. One is that guilty people go free. We do not want these guilty people going free. Out of all the guilty people we could have go free, these people are up there with those who murder to support drug trade as people who belong behind bars because of the damage that they do to our society. The flip side of it is we cannot have innocent people wrongly accused of this. You think it's bad to be called a sexual harasser. This is a whole different category of your life is over.
Yeah, like this is like anywhere you move, whatever you do, this is who you are.
Even if this is
just who you are now. Like everything about you is this.
Even if you're innocent, even if you are found innocent, even if you can prove that you're innocent, nobody pays attention to anything other than the headline. And the headline is, oh, Joe Blow was in a child pornography.
Well, it's just like...
Everybody makes up their mind and walks away. You're done.
When I was in college, me and a couple of my friends were... I'm sorry. A couple of my friends and I were going somewhere into Manhattan. I went to college in the Bronx, so we used to take the Metro North to get there. And one of my friends was a little drunk. And we were like, just go down and wait for the train and hold the door open. Like, we'll buy the tickets. Like, you cannot press buttons right now. But he ended up peeing just on the side of the subway, like they're on the side of the Metro North, like, you know, just on the platform. And a cop caught him.
Yep. Registered sex.
And he got arrested. And now he's a registered sex offender.
So level three, isn't it?
Yeah. It ruined his life.
Yeah.
He was drunk at 21 and had to pee. And now everywhere he goes, he has to register. There are certain neighborhoods he can't move to because it's too close to a playground or to a school or to a library. He has to declare it with every job that he gets.
He might pee on a jungle gym.
But that's the thing is that like he's, but it really, you're entirely correct because it really does. It becomes everything about you.
Yeah.
It just,
that's all anybody is ever going to say.
It doesn't matter. You can change your people. It doesn't matter. It's all anybody's ever going to see. Well, that's like, I think I've said on the air before, my godfather was a priest. He was one of the priests that was named when all of the names got released in the scandal with the Archdiocese of Boston, which still blows my mind. But myself or anyone in my family or anyone has not heard from him since.
Yeah.
I picture him living in the woods in one of the Dakotas. You know what I mean? Like
that's what they're for.
I have no, like, he could never, even if, like, you know, even if, even though he was, I forget the name of the word, it begins with an S when you're asked to leave the priesthood.
Defrocked?
It's the slang term, but yeah, even if like he couldn't, he can't be a priest anymore, but it's, he can't be anything anymore, right? You know?
Yeah,
like,
well, that's it.
Like, that's it. Like, that's, your life is done. That, like, is all that's ever going to be about you.
That is the barrier that we're up against. And I will tell you from my own experience, working with AI, reading about AI, understanding what these AI programs are and how they work, every single one of them fails. Every last one of them fails. They are not foolproof. They generate false positives all the time. Now, maybe with 5 years of data and field work and all the rest of that,
laicized. Sorry,
you can
out of the word.
There's no S in there. You can figure out.
There's an S sound.
How to make it foolproof, but unless it is 100% accurate, it should not be used as a prosecutorial tool. It simply should not be. You can't do that. The stakes are too high. People kill themselves over this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
People kill themselves over this stuff. Some computer spits out the wrong number. Hey, you're a child pornographer. Your life's over. What are you talking about?
Well, and even, as you know, I've talked about this before. My mom leaves on talk shows for her dog when she leaves the house. And that's the only reason I was watching Steve Harvey today. He had a guy that was in jail for 36 years for a crime that he didn't commit.
Who got out and raped somebody.
Did he?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the one that just happened this week.
This was like literally watching. I was watching this today.
Oh, this was on the news yesterday. There's some guy up in Lawrence.
No. This is not here. But no, he was just because the victim was shown a bunch of pictures. This guy getting picked up because he was like in the area.
Right.
And they were like, if anyone looks familiar, and they gave her three rounds of the pictures and they kept including this guy's picture in it. And so in her brain, it was, if anyone looks familiar, and she sees this guy and three rounds of the pictures. So she's just like, it must be this guy. So he was sentenced to life.
That's bad police work, by the way.
Terrible police
work. And the cops know that.
But he was sentenced to life. And then I forget the name of the nonprofit, but...
The Innocence Project.
Innocence Project. Thank you. But they basically saved him. But he was in jail for 36 years. And then finally, the Innocence Project, they got a new judge and they were like, you have to. There were fingerprints at the scene that were not his. You have to run these again. You have to.
They do good work over there. Unfortunately, they can't do it fast enough in a lot of these cases.
Exactly. Well, I was going to say, they started pushing for this guy in 1996. He just got out a month ago.
Yeah. Yeah, so 23 years.
Yeah. But, like, he missed his life.
Yeah.
For something he didn't do. Yeah. And the fingerprints ended up pointing to an already convicted rapist.
Yep.
Who was in jail already by that point for raping somebody else.
Now, we have a history of giving police tremendous latitude in adopting technology. And this has been the case for over 150 years now. We would not have things like forensics if we had not given the police the opportunity to try new techniques, to bring them into a court of law, and to decide whether or not they were admissible. That is how the science of policing has advanced. And it has advanced in incredible ways just during my lifetime. You know, things like DNA and understanding body composition and all of these things. Because we've had so much success, there's a tendency to sit back and say, let the cops have whatever tech they want.
Yeah.
But then you look at something like the taser. Taser is supposed to be non-lethal. Well, it turns out that there's...
Totally kill you.
It turns out that some people die when they get tased. We don't know how many people, but we know that some people die when they get tased, and there is no way for a police officer to know before they tase somebody whether or not they're going to die.
Yeah, because you don't stop and say, hey, before I use this weapon on you, do you have a heart murmur? Yeah.
Do you have a heart condition? Taser. Don't tase me, bro. Yeah. They're using the taser. Same situation. You have an unproven piece of software that is spitting out false positives. But what's happening here is rather than drag it into the full light of day in a court of law, they're dismissing the charges. And they're basically saying, let it go. We're not going to talk about how this works. We're not going to talk about what this is. That is a problem. That needs to stop right now. And the rule needs to be, if police are going to use a piece of software to gather evidence against an individual that leads to a grand jury indictment, every aspect of the functionality of that software must be included in the grand jury indictment and must be subject to review in open court. If you can't do that, you can't use it. End of story. I don't want to hear about Silicon Valley tech bros' intellectual property and trade secrets when innocent people are being fingered. I don't want to hear about guilty people going free because Silicon Valley tech bro doesn't want someone to know how his software works. That's insane.
Like, that's the thing.
That's sick.
That's the thing is, like, especially we're not talking about, like, someone going free who's accused of growing pot or something.
Like, how many children have to get raped to protect their profits,
sir? This is, like, one of the most heinous... No, you know, I'm going to take that back. This is the most heinous crime that a human being can commit. Like, to me, even worse than murder.
Yeah, some of us would put murder up there.
No, but see, to me, worse than murder because you are ruining a child's life.
Yeah, but you can recover from that with a lot of work. You can't recover from murder.
That's true, but that's the thing is, all right, I'll put them here. We'll compromise. They're on the same level.
Okay, yeah, we can put them on the same level.
Let's just put them, for those of you who can't see us, which is all of you except Derek, my hands are at the same level right now.
I just want to establish that you can't recover from murder. That's
you absolutely can't. You know. But the thing is, some people
therapists aren't going to help you with that.
Some people can't recover from...
Oh, I'm not denying that. Not denying that at all. Some people,
like, I can't even, it's hard for me to even say the phrase out loud. Yeah. Like, that's how disturbing it is.
And that's why we need to proceed carefully with this.
That's what I'm saying is, like, don't, like I was saying before, our criminal justice system was set up in such a way that you can commit any crime. It's set up just like you can commit any crime, but just know that, like, you do this. This is probably going to happen. You do this. This is probably going to happen. If we can't prove that you did this, then this won't happen. That's where our criminal justice system is set up. In cases like this, you have to do everything you possibly can to make sure you've covered every single base, to make sure that you're positively positive.
Right.
That this did not happen.
Right.
Because, like I said, double jeopardy. If someone gets tried and acquitted of something, they can't be tried for it again.
By the way, if that person was actually trading in child pornography and gets the case dismissed, now they know how to avoid it.
Exactly.
Now you've made them...
You made them an expert on evading the law.
Now you've made them more dangerous. Why? So you can protect your Silicon Valley tech bro secrets? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? What kind of a sick, deranged world do we find ourselves in where that is more important than convicting someone who exploits children? I don't have an answer for that question.
I'm so glad that I'm drinking Powerade right now because all I know, that is the only thing keeping me.
Yeah.
Electrolytes, baby. That's the only thing keeping me sitting here without fainting or getting sick.
All I know is
talking
that this
about this.
ProPublica investigation is vitally important. This is vitally important.
Absolutely.
Because I had no idea any of this was going on.
Jesus.
None of us had any idea this was going on.
That's the thing is, like, I mean, I do research for this show every single day. This is the first I'm hearing about this story.
This can't happen.
And even when I typed it into, even when I typed child porn into Google.
Don't type child porn into Google.
I won't do it again. But even when I did that, I had to type ProPublica in because everything else was something else.
ProPublica porn investigation. If you want to look for this online, don't type in child porn to Google.
I can get away with it because they'll look at everything else about me and be like, oh, her radio shows tonight.
Right.
Obviously, she was looking in this reference. But yeah, hey, dum-dums just hanging out at home, don't type child porn in right now.
At the same time. Goodness. I've got to say.
Sorry, government.
I am waiting for that morning when there is a knock on the door. and there's a couple of FBI guys, clean-shaven suits, plain ties, standing there saying, we'd like to have a word with you about your internet history. And my response is going to be, is it the hate sites or the murder videos or the outrageous political extremism?
I'm just interested in trench coat mafia. It started when I was 11.
Just whichever one you'd like, here are the audio files of my radio show. Because it's like...
Well, exactly. That's the thing is that we have, again... The government, our criminal justice system is set up to be on our side.
Right.
So if you or I ever got in trouble for the various things we've had to look up for the show or otherwise, we could just be like, okay, you want to try to prove them guilty? Just listen to every single... Oh, by the way, you can stream our shows at WMFO.org. Yeah.
And here's the thing.
Archives. You just go through our archives. You'll find a reason that this is in my browser history.
I have never looked up anything illegal for this show. I never would.
Oh, neither have I. Like honestly, like that's typing in child porn. It was literally just for those of you who don't know, like while we're doing this show so that we can keep up with what the other is saying, if we don't have the information, we sit on a computer and we both have computers in front of us and look it up. But we're talking the whole time, so you just kind of type in things quickly. Yeah. That's what I typed it in, not even thinking, like, I'm Googling, I just Googled child porn. That was stupid.
According to some overreaction in New Zealand, I may have broken their laws by watching a video, but...
yeah, but I mean, those Kiwis, what are you going to do with
them? The problem that you have, and this is shared by everybody, you know, who is in the punditry business or the news business or all the rest of that, is I would imagine our search histories would drive the feds nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Because we look at everything.
We do.
I go out of my way to avoid...
having your computer searched.
No. I go out of my way to avoid the white nationalist sites because I don't want to give them a click.
Especially, honestly...
Like anybody else...
And this is... I hate that this is the most ironic
and Antifa
term.
Too. I don't want to give them a click.
Well, the other thing is too, and I understand the irony of the expression I'm about to use, but this is the pot calling the kettle black. But based on the way that you and I look, that makes it even worse.
Yeah.
Like for us go on like a white nationalist site, even out of curiosity for research.
But it's like,
for those of you who don't know what we look like we're two of the whitest people ever.
Irish heritage on both sides here.
Yeah. Like sometimes we have contests to see whose skin is paler. Like,
but it's like, I don't want to give them the click.
Yours today, by the way.
I don't want somebody sitting there looking at that going, hey, look, we got 40 clicks on this thing today. We're doing well.
Yeah, like we're doing well.
Because I work.
Well, and the great irony is that probably a lot of those clicks, even outside of you and I, are people that are just looking, being like, what the hell are these people talking about? I have to look into this.
Yeah, if I can find an authoritative summary somewhere, then I will take that.
You guys are listening to WMFO Medford, by the way.
I like primary sources, but not when it's those guys.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm not.
It's like, that's the difficulty with what we do, is that it's, you know, it's like with serial killer hunters. They say you have to get into the mind of the serial killer. In order for us to get into the mind of whatever subject we're talking about, the best way to do so is to get to the primary source of the subject. And a lot of the subjects that we talk about are not great primary sources to read.
If I have to read one more poorly written like manifesto from a mass murder, I'm going to lose my mind. And it's like, I've read all of them. You know, everybody thinks they're Ted Kaczynski, and none of them are. Like, the Unabomber Manifesto, highly recommended. Good read. And that guy's got some pretty reasonable things to say about society. I can disagree with what he did all day long, but Ted was a smart, smart, smart guy. Complain about what he did.
That's the cutest thing you've ever said, Derek. I mean, complain about what the Unabomber did.
No. I'm not saying Ted Kaczynski's a good guy, but I'm saying philosophically.
He was probably one of the smartest people to ever live. Like if you can look at it completely objectively, he was one of the smartest people to ever.
I had a fully formed worldview at the time that I read the Unabomber Manifesto, and I'm looking at it and I'm like, agree with that, agree with that, agree with that, agree with that. There are things in there I don't agree with. But a lot of what he said about the way that our society has transformed and our schools had basically turned into factory preparation mills, and the way that we were being turned into basically mice running through a maze to satisfy consumer needs to enrich other people, a lot of that is pretty darned accurate. Not going to go blow anybody up over it. I don't think anybody should blow anybody up over it.
That's the thing, is that like I've read his, again, we were talking about things that might put us on a watch list. I've read his manifesto too.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, I was like, if I can remove the fact that he sent a bunch of mail bombs like from my brain, dude's making some good points.
Can't separate the art from the artist in that case.
No, you cannot.
855-915-9636 on the Tell Mikey D is about 10 minutes away with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene.
We're both going to prison.
When we come back, the FBI will be knocking on the door. Our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week here.
I swear it's just research.
On WMFO Medford.
Everybody scream when I kiss the teacher, and they must have thought that dream when I kiss the teacher. All my friends at school, they had never seen the teacher blush. She looked like a fool, nearly petrified, cause he was taken by surprise.
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story.
One night, I was at a bar. I was having fun with my friends. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react.
The cabbie barely had time to react.
I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We're wrapping things up here at The Big Picture. Myself, Shay Spillane. Across the board for me, Derek Gary. But before we go, we're going to tell you what's hot, which is our favorite thing from the past or coming week. For me, I keep giving you guys updates. My best friend in the whole world, Kim Cherry, is now in the top 8 of The Voice, which is amazing, and she totally deserves it. But her next round is this coming Monday. Everybody make sure to tune in. It's on ABC. And then make sure to download the app so that you can vote for her. You can vote for her starting after the show ends until 7 o'clock the next morning. And she, if you Google her, Kim, and then Cherry, like the fruit, she's unbelievable. Like, this isn't, I shouldn't even have to be promoting her. Like, because she speaks for herself, like how good she is. But yeah, so please tune into The Voice and please vote for Kim.
This weekend, because it was postponed from last weekend due to questionable weather, is the official opening of SOA, if you have not been to SOA. That is the open market down in Boston's South End. Over 175 makers, food trucks, alcohol. You can walk around SOA with beer, hard cider, or something like that. It is this great
wonderful
artisan bazaar that takes place.
Alcohol.
Over on Harrison Avenue, right around the corner.
I said ABC, it's NBC.
Right around the corner from Medieval Manor, if you've been there. You've been around here long enough, you've been there. But SOA is a great market and a great chance to see what local farmers are doing, what local artisans are doing, what local craftspeople are doing. Everything is there for you to enjoy. It is free to go in there and wander around. Sunday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. will be their opening for the season. You can learn more at www.soaboston.com. www.soaboston.com. Go check it out if you haven't been. There's really nothing else like it in the city.
And sorry, kids, by the way, I was reading a news article as I was speaking. The Voice is on NBC, not ABC.
Yeah.
I had ABC open on my computer and just looked at it.
But NBC. Home
NBC.
Of the Voice.
Which, ironically, is where this next thing's coming from.
Vote for Kim.
Where's your head at? WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We're wrapping things up here at The Big Picture, but first we're going to tell you that's a thing that happened. And that's the craziest news story we could find from last week. For me, I'm keeping it local. This is Rhode Island.
Wow.
It was just announced that Warwick Public Schools will be serving students with lunch debts, a sun butter and jelly sandwich, instead of the option of a hot meal until they are able to pay their balances. The district announced this following the school district realizing that they are $78,000 in debt. I think it's a little more on them than on the children.
Yeah.
But I don't even totally know what sun butter is, to be honest with you.
Will somebody please get a hot meal for these kids?
Give me some sun butter.
This is insane.
I mean, I want to. Sun butter sounds good. I don't know.
North Dakota.
Oh, I'm going there soon.
Don't do drugs, kids. Let the experience of 21-year-old Zachary Burdick scare you away. Mr. Burdick pled guilty this week to misdemeanor disorderly conduct and indecent exposure charges. Mr. Burdick told police he was high on meth and hashish oil.
What an idiot.
Meth and hashish oil. When he walked into Spirit of Life Church in Mandan.
Who smokes hash is calling it hashish. That's how I know you're high.
Well, I think the police wrote it down as hashish oil, you know. Mr. Burdick told police he was high on meth and hashish oil when he walked into Spirit of Life Church in Mandan, disrobed, dunked his hindquarters in the baptismal font.
What?
Then walked into the church's sanctuary while masturbating as 75 people attending morning mass looked on.
Oh my God, this dude was just asking to get arrested.
Mr. Burdick, a self-described rapper, producer, and songwriter.
Of course he is.
Told police he was, quote,
this is my favorite story you've ever told, dude.
Trying to bust a nut in the church. Don't do drugs, kids.
Okay. At first, I was rolling my eyes at you saying that. But yeah, guys, based on that story, don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs.
Oh my goodness.
That was a very eventful day at church for those people.
Especially in North Dakota. That was probably the craziest thing they've seen their entire lives.
Yeah, this is like nothing happens in North Dakota. It's like, is that a nation?
Yeah, it's like, you know, like I've seen some weird stuff on the subway in New York City, but like.
That's New York City.
Yeah, exactly.
Did that guy just dunk his butt in the baptismal font?
Am I having a religious moment?
You're not supposed to do that. That is just about all the time we have for this week on The Talent Mikey D, coming your way in just a couple of minutes. Don't forget, vote for Kim. Watch The Voice.
Yeah, watch The Voice on NBC, and please vote for Kim Cherry.
This ties into local music because Kim's
local.
It does.
Kim performs with, I'm sure you guys have seen her, Legends of Summer. They perform all over Boston. They're dope as hell. And she works her butt off and totally deserves to win this thing.
Let's represent. So let's get Boston Rock back
Boston
on the map.
Yo, vote Kim Cherry.
Yeah, we haven't had.
And like I said, there's an app. You can download it, and you can vote starting when the show ends on Monday until 7 a.m. the following morning.
There you go. Till next time.
Get it, girl.
Chase Mullane.
I love you all.
I'm Derek Gary. Stay safe, everybody.